of marriage. This is the fourth week we are looking at the subject of marriage. And like our brother said this morning, the strength of a Christian life really depends on the strength of our relationship with God and His Word, isn't it? The strength of our Christian life depends upon our strength of the relationship with the Lord, with the Word of God. And when that is strong, everything else will fall in its place. But my approach, the approach that I took in handling this subject, is more practical, as our brother mentioned this morning. A practical approach to marriage under the principles of the Word of God. That's the way I will put it. The practical approach to marriage under the principles of the Word of God. I'm not giving you any new information, and I think all of you can probably quote these verses that we have been considering, because these are very, very, very popular, very famous, very the verses are very familiar to us. So I'm not giving you any new information, but my hope is that the information will become new to us. Okay, no new information, but the information has to become new to us. In other words, it has to become ours. We have to make it ours. Now, I heard the story of this couple. They were on the road driving, and the husband was driving, and the wife in the passenger seat. She kind of scooted over to the passenger door as far as she could from the husband. And looking out through the window, she said, "You know, I don't know what happened to us. Look at us now. We used to talk a lot when we go on trips. We used to hold hands. We used to sit so close." He turned to her and he said, "Well, I haven't moved." So even though it is not a one-to-one comparison, the point I have been trying to make in this series is the marriage is God's design and it is His institution. It has not failed. He has not moved. God's design has not failed, but we often fail. And that keeps us from drawing out everything that God wants us to enjoy from this institution. I think Sam just got the joke. Oh. Okay, that tells something right there, doesn't it? All right. I just want to do a quick review of what we looked at last week. And the key verse was from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. We read Ephesians 5, 25. We read, "Husbands, love your wives just as." Okay, that word, that phrase, I want to, you know, underline, "just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Or in another version say, instead of "just as," it says, "even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it." So I reminded you last week that the key to enjoying the things of God is to know that there is a reversal of values when it comes to the kingdom of God. Those things that the world around us, the people around us, consider valuable are not exactly the things that value in the realm where God operates. You know, the world consider power, riches, influence, happiness. Those are the things to go after. They are the things that make you, give you an identity. But there is a reversal of values in the kingdom of God. World values power, Christ values servanthood. Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful. There is a reversal of values. So, what can enhance, what can bring that explosion of joy and satisfaction in a marriage relationship? We looked at the fact that in marriage, narrowness is the way to broadness. If you want to enjoy the marriage, you must be ready to subject to the narrowness or the demands of the marriage so that it will bring you to the broadness of enjoyment and satisfaction. So what is the narrowness in a marriage relationship? It is the sacrifices that you make for the sake of the relationship. The relationship is more important than your individual need. And the small sacrifices make you for the sake of the relationship will bring you an explosion, a blast, an avalanche of joy in your marriage. So I said small sacrifices we make. And why are they small sacrifices? Because our standard is Christ. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So Christ, for the sake of securing ourselves to him, to make us his own, what did he do? He went through the extreme narrowness to bring us to the incredible broadness of joy. He was crushed under the weight of the demand of the relationship required. He sacrificed everything for the sake of the relationship. You know, our little conveniences, little inconveniences, our little sacrifices look so insignificant in the light of his ultimate sacrifice of himself. You know, I told you about the fact that I miss a full cup of coffee first thing in the morning. And it really hurts. But I'm okay with it. Because the relationship is more important than me drinking a full cup of coffee in the morning. You know, look at the other side of the fact. It is also true, the approach of broadness in the marriage can bring you into the extreme narrowness. And if you always say, I want to get my way all the time, I want to put my needs before your needs, I'm not ready to give up anything for the sake of the relationship. And it will take you to a narrowness that will suffocate you. It will suffocate your relationship. The result will be a marriage of no real joy or happiness. And when it is carried to the extreme, it will become a marriage that is broken and dying. So sacrifice of yourself is one of the key ingredients of a successful marriage. Just look at Christ. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So the instruction to the husbands are, husbands, love your wives just as. So today we are going to see the other side, the instruction for the wives. So it is only fair that I concentrate my thoughts mainly on the wives today, you know, so they won't feel left out in our study. So our verse today is the one just before the instructions to the husbands in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So, you know, in the perfect world that God created, even before sin entered into humanity, when Adam was alone, God said, "It is not good." The first thing in the whole creation that God finds imperfection was in the aloneness, if I can use the word, aloneness of Adam. So, and God provided him with a helper that is suitable for him. So, God designed this great institution called marriage, and it took away the aloneness of the man. You know, in every marriage, the role of men and women become an issue sooner or later. You know, because in our fallen nature, it is possible to interpret the headship of man in a way to possess and exercise superiority in a relationship for man. It is possible for a man to use this portion to have a selfish advantage in the relationship for himself. For men to say that I am the big cheese. You know, but submission in the Bible never, ever implies inferiority. But when a couple understand the terms headship and submission properly, and then they put that into practice, that marriage will experience incredible flourishing. And, you know, last week we saw that the willing, sacrificial life, love of Christ to church should be reproduced in the love of husbands to their wives. That was my main point last week. The sacrificial love of Christ to church should be reproduced in the love of husband to their wives. Today, in this portion we read, for the wives, it says the willing subjection of the church to Christ should be reproduced in the submission of wives to their husbands. The subjection of the church as the bride of the great bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is the pattern for the subjection of wives to the husband. You know, we read it in the Bible that the God is a God of order. And he established order in the two unique institutions he designed, both marriage and church. He instituted order and pattern. You know, the word submission, especially in this highly individualistic Western culture, the word submission immediately sets off an alarm, isn't it? A fear, a warning in the mind of the hearers. You know, in this case, the mind of the wives. The word submission immediately sets off an alarm. It is a word that is filled with the idea of extreme narrowness, extreme suffocation. But how do we get over this fear of the word submission? Again, the principle is there is a reversal of values in the kingdom of God. The answer, again, is the biblical principle that narrowness will lead to broadness, and broadness will lead to narrowness. Where do we find that? Again, we find that in Christ. The answer again is Christ. What do I mean by that? And we go to Philippians chapter 2. And our brother read that portion this morning for our worship service. Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 5, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross." He says here is Jesus Christ in every way equal with God. No question of inferiority or superiority here. He was equal with the Father. And he took on one of the most submissive roles, a role of a servant who dies in his master's service. He went through the extreme narrowness of submission, even though he was equal with the Father, so that he can have a relationship with us. And his submission to his Father led him to the cross, where he was broken and he was bruised and he died. It was a life-giving submission. It was a submission that was so sacrificial that he lost his life in the process. He acknowledged the headship of the Father and submitted himself to the Father, even to the death of the cross. And when we see the pictures in the Garden of Gethsemane, we get a glimpse of what was waiting for him on the cross, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, we read a scene where he was anticipating the cross. And he said he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." In Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, we read, and he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." In John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven to not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Lord Jesus Christ, he submitted himself to the will of the Father to the uttermost. He was crushed and he was torn apart because he thought the joy that was waiting for him in our relationship with him was more precious than the sufferings he endured. You know, I want to tell you, sisters, those who are wives, you may never ever reach the point of death because of your submission, as it was in the case of Christ. Maybe a little inconvenience here, a little narrowness, little difficulties you might encounter. When you submit your husband, he's of no comparison to the extreme suffering he endured because of his submission to his Father for our sake, for the sake of our relationship with him. He considered the relationship so precious enough to endure the narrowness of submission. But when you submit your husband, as in the Lord, it will bring you the extreme broadness of a wonderful marriage relationship. Well, what happened to Christ when he submitted to the point of death? We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, what happened to him? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, we read, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See what the Father did when the Son endured the submission of the cross? He highly exalted him. You know, when I was studying this subject, I came across the writing of an author, a lady. And she, in her writing, she explained the breakthrough that happened in her life when she came to understand the truth about submission in a marriage. She said it drastically changed her attitude to the idea of submission. She called it playing Jesus' role in a marriage. Playing Jesus' role in marriage. She put it this way when talking about the portion in Philippians we just read. She said, in this passage, we see taught both the essential equality of the first and second person of the Godhead, yet the voluntary submission of the Son to the Father to secure our salvation. And she goes on to say, Jesus' willing acceptance of this role was wholly and completely voluntary. It was a gift to his Father. I discovered here that my submission in marriage under the principles of the Word of God as a gift I offer to my husband, not a duty that is coerced on me. It was not an assault on the dignity and divinity of the second person of the Godhead to submit himself and assume the role of a servant. Then how could it possibly injure me to be asked to play out the Jesus role in marriage? You know, it is amazing to see the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Son honor and give an exalted position to the Father by submitting to him voluntarily. And the Father in turn exalt the Son and give him a name which is above every name. The relationship of the Father and the Son is mutually exalting. In a marriage, the wife lovingly and voluntarily submit to the husband as the head, just as Christ submitted to the Father, and the husband in turn makes sure that she is loved and cherished and cared for, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Think of a marriage where these principles are put in practice, and you will find a marriage that is thriving and that is flourishing. You know, when the Son submitted to Father, he was not showing his weakness, but his greatness. When a wife is submitting to her husband, she is showing her greatness in obeying the principles of the Word of God, principle of the headship that God established. She is showing her greatness in her submission and showing that she is willing to obey the principles of the Word of God. When a wife is submitting to her husband, she is using the opportunities to reflect the relationship between church and her Savior, the Lord. She is showing the relationship between ultimate bride and the bridegroom, Christ and the church. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before thy presence. And Father, we have been considering the subject of marriage. And Father, we see how important it is, because It is a relationship that reflects Christ's love for the church and also church's submission to Christ. And Father, we have seen the patterns given in the scriptures as Christ died for us. It is a dying love. We as husband need to reflect that dying love for our wives. And in turn, we see the voluntary submission of the wives for the spiritual headship that God has established in the family. Father, we pray that as we think about this subject, as we go through our lives in the coming days, that these principles may guide us and lead us. Father, again, our relationship with you may be stronger each and every day so that our life may be guided under the principles of the Word of God. Every area of our life may come under the authority and the power of the Word of God. Father, we pray that as we depart from here, they may be with us till we meet again. Thy presence and thy blessing may be with each one of us, and always, always thinking of the goodness of God in our lives. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.